Welcome back to the Teach for the Heart podcast, where we tackle teaching challenges from a biblical perspective. Why are we here? Because we don't believe that our spiritual walk and teaching profession should exist in two separate domains. Rather, the hope we have in Christ should change how we approach everything, not just at home, but at school as well. So join us as we explore both the spiritual and practical sides of key teaching challenges, integrating them together so we can succeed at teaching, glorify God, and make a lasting difference in our students' hearts and lives. This episode is brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation. And today I'm so excited to be here with Carly Smith, our podcast manager here at Teach for the Heart. And we are going to be talking about how to love our students like Jesus did through classroom management. So Carly's going to kind of, we're going to have a conversation together. She's going to kind of interview me. We'll talk about it together. So Carly, thank you so much for being here. And why don't you get us started into this topic?
Yeah, so great to be back. As Linda and I were talking about a lot of different things that Teach for the Heart really cares about, one of those really is classroom management. And I was actually thinking, you know, I think there's a lot of ways we as teachers can think about classroom management through the lens of our faith, right? Of how the way that we manage our classrooms and the way that we respond to our students can actually be one of the best ways that we embody Christ's character in our lives. And I think that we oftentimes forget that Jesus was a teacher, right? Like he was called rabbi. And that's just the Jewish word for teacher. And his disciples were his students who followed him around and learned from him. So Linda, when you think about Jesus walking on earth and teaching these disciples, and then you think about how we as teachers create our classrooms and manage them and try to do that really well, how does the picture of Christ as a teacher encourage you?
Well, I think this is such a really interesting question. And I think, I know for myself personally, I don't often think about the fact that Jesus was a teacher. Yes, of course, he taught us about God, but just in this way. But there are so many insights when you consider this question that come out. So one thing that came out to me as I thought about this was just the fact of how he was the master teacher, and just like such a wonderful example to us in so many ways. And I actually remember a summit session Marilyn Rames did for us a couple of years ago, where she talked about, you know, some of Jesus's teachings and how to apply his teaching style even to teaching. So there's so many different ways we could talk about that. But in particular, when I think of classroom management, I think about how Jesus's character, how he is such a great example of patience, of love, and instructing, though. Like he was instructing with patience, with love, with caring. He was always there for people. And just that character. I know I've mentioned this to you, Carly. I don't know how many of you guys listening have read the book Gentle and Lowly. But it really just talks about the character of Christ and how when he described himself, those are the words he used. I am gentle and lowly in heart. And just that kind character, I think, is just such a great example.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, gentle and lowly is a great perspective to help us think about even how we treat our students, and highly recommend. And yeah, and even think about the way that he approached the what we would call the least of these, right? And so when we think about the least of our students, you know, what is our heart toward them and how can we emulate Christ in that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Another thing that comes to mind too, before we move on, is when I think about Jesus and how is that encouraging, is I also think about his students and how they actually really didn't get it a lot of the time. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this in the Gospels before, those of you listening, but once you start to notice it, you'll notice it more and more and more, how much the disciples did not understand what Jesus was taking. He would have just explained something and like 5 minutes later, like the next chapter, they're asking the same question again. Like it just really was like a hot mess. And I think that can be encouraging to us, because sometimes we take that really personally when our students like, I just told you this, like, why aren't you getting it? And sometimes we take that to mean like, I'm not a good teacher. I'm not good. But like if the master teacher, his disciples didn't get it half the time until the Holy Spirit came, and then they did. And so just that encouragement that like God doesn't call us, like he calls us to teach and to do our best, but that doesn't mean that everything we do is always going to like immediately have an impact. Sometimes that impact is over time. Sometimes it's not right then for that student, and that's okay. And we can be encouraged by the fact that does not mean that we're not doing a good job.
Yeah, I'm sure we can look around our classrooms and find Peters and Thomases or the sleeping disciples. So, yes, that is so encouraging. I love that. So even as we think about these ways that we can share Christ's character, some of our listeners work in public schools, right? And so there's restrictions on the ways that they can share about their faith and, you know, preach the gospel in a sense. So how can they think about the way that they manage their classrooms as a way to show Christ's character? And maybe which aspects of his character come to mind?
Yes, a lot of aspects come to mind. And before I get into this, I will just say whether these apply regardless of where you teach. So I right. love that question of like, what character traits can you show even if you can't bring Christ's name into it? But of course, those of us that teach in Christian school, we should be demonstrating these exact same characteristics. So regardless, here's a few that come to mind. Love, right? I mean, we know that one, but maybe stopping and asking, like, do we genuinely love our students, all of them? And if we don't, if we're being honest and we're like, you know, there's some, I struggle with it, then that's something that we can pray about. Ask God, please grow love for so-and-so in my heart. And I think that's a prayer God loves to answer. And that really is just a wonderful jumping off point if you're struggling with that.
Yes. And I think having worked in a public school, students know when their teachers love them or when they don't. So that really does, like, kids just see through you. And if you actually do love your students, they'll know and they won't be yeah. able to deny it. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's, it is so powerful. And I, yeah, like I said, praying about it if you're not sure. And sometimes it is just a decision too, just like deciding I'm going to honor this person and love. And we'll actually talk a little bit more about that here in a little bit. But, so love, the second one that comes to my mind is humility. Even though Jesus literally is the God of the universe, like, he did not have to be humble. He does not, like, he is deserving of all honor and praise and glory, but yet he was really humble in his interactions. And, you know, we think of the upper room where he washes the disciples' feet and said, just as I have done this, as an example of how you should act and how we don't lord it over us. And I don't think any of us are like, you know, we're lording over our students. That's, you know, but just having that attitude of humility in interacting with them, I think is just really powerful. Yeah. And then I'll go ahead. I'll skip over patience for real quick because this one kind of is like a, doubtism doesn't go hand in hand, more like two sides of a coin. So we talked about humility and how important it is to have a humble attitude, but that does not mean that we abdicate authority. And I think Jesus was a good example of this, right? Like, he was humble and loving, but yet he stood by what was true. He said hard things. He said very difficult things that made people say, I'm out. Like, you know what I mean? So this is not mean, like, I want to make sure I'm clear. Like, we're not saying be loving and humble, so just let your students do what they want. Like, that's not nope. loving, right? That's not humble. Like, I mean, maybe it's like a false humility almost, right?
Yeah.
So it's like being willing to be the authority that God has. Like, God has given you authority in your classroom, you know, just like it's different than Jesus's authority, but in the same way, God has delegates authority in different ways. And so owning that authority, but displaying it the way Jesus did, with love, with humility, with patience, and honestly, with all the fruit of the Spirit. I just thought all the fruit of the Spirit, right? He had them all. He had the yeah. love, joy, joyful, and peace, not stressed, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. So whenever we are able to demonstrate that because of the Spirit's work in us, this isn't something we can drum up, then that's a powerful example of Jesus. And that's just, it does make a difference to our students, whether we're able to say his name or not. Would you add anything to that, Carly?
Yeah, you know, what you said about authority really strikes me, even just thinking about how when you abdicate authority, then someone else is going to take it over. And that is usually your students, and they don't usually use it very well. And so it's not in your students' best interest to let them walk all over you or like, and so thinking, I like that you paired authority with humility too, because I think the idea of using your authority humbly, right? thinking of it as a gift from the Lord, like you have authority because God has placed you here. That feels very different than I'm in charge because I'm in charge, you know, like because I get paid because of this and that. Like that's a whole different tenor of authority to think about as you step into your classroom, holding it as a gift. So I really love that. And it really makes a difference. You know, I've seen even just in when I was teaching and in classrooms that I've observed, like when you do give up that authority, the fruits of the Spirit don't occur naturally. But when you, yeah, the kids are not looking for self-control, that I will tell you. But when you do assert benevolent authority, perhaps I think is a phrase in a book called The Art of Gathering from Priya Parker, and she talks about gatherings, but benevolent authority, right? So if we're trying to be kind and generous with our authority and using it for the good of people, then those things do come. Joy comes out of that. Gentleness comes out of that. So, and it's really beautiful to see that happen and the Lord bless that. So I really appreciate thinking about authority too.
Oh, I love so much of what you said and just that idea that authority for the good, right? That's when we look at authority in the Bible, how Jesus used it, but also how he establishes it and the examples, that is what it is, right? The authority is supposed to be for the good. And because of sin, because of selfishness, often we see it abused and not used that way. But I do think sometimes just because the world we live in is not of a biblical framework, biblical worldview, sometimes we get nervous about these words. Oh, is authority bad? Like, am I not the authority? And it's like, no, authority was designed by God for good. And we need to own that and use it for good as he intended, right? To make our classroom a place where people can learn. This episode is brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation. Herzog believes that teachers are the heartbeat of schools and role models to future leaders. And in June, they're going to be hosting Making a Leap, a teacher symposium at Wheaton College, Illinois. They'll be exploring questions, concerns, and myths around Christian education. They'll be looking into things like reclaiming faith and freedom in the classroom, how to launch your own Christian school, and so much more. So if you're thinking about making the leap into Christian education, check out this two-day event. You can get all the details, we'll link to them at teachfortheheart.com/leap. And now back to the show.
So thinking then about the flip side, right? We've talked about kind of what we can think about as teachers, but then what does that look like on the student end? And we touched a little bit on that, but how do you think the way that we manage our classrooms can actually impact the hearts of our students?
This is such a good question. And there's like so many different ways to answer this. But one of the things that came to my mind is something I've spent a fair amount of time thinking about. And well, I'll back up and just say something that we are hearing a lot lately. And that's that like consequences aren't good. We need to be really worried about kids' self-esteem. Like we need to make sure kids are always like, you know, we don't want them to ever feel bad about themselves. And so, you know, there's all these trends now of like no consequences, everything must be always positive. And I've done a lot of thinking, like, is that biblical? Is that right? Like, what's going on here? And one thing that's really kind of crystallized to me is that the world really derides a lot of concepts that are actually inherently Christian. So some of the things that they, as I said, that they don't like, the concept of right and wrong is becoming increasingly like not a commonly held concept, right? It's something that's like a postmodern says, no, there's not really right and wrong. Sin. We'd already talked about authority, right? And authority and all that. Repentance, definitely not. Why would I ever need to repent, right? So it's all about me, right? What I think is best. We hear my truth. What is best for me? So self-esteem is everything. It's really important that I believe in myself, that I believe I am good because like I'm the only one that I can count on, basically, is like the worldview. But the Bible paints such a different picture, right? Yes. And at its core, one thing that I've realized is like, when you think about the law, consequences, like all of that, that can never save us. And it can never save our students either. Okay, like the law and the consequences will never save. But what they do, there's actually a catechism question in this in the New City Catechism. It goes, if no one can keep the law, what is its purpose? And the answer is that we might know the holy nature of God, the sinful nature of our hearts, and thus our need of a savior. And I was like, ooh, that's really, really good.
So good.
And I think it applies to classroom management in just a small way, but in the fact that, like, when kids are faced with the fact that I fell short, I didn't obey, I didn't meet this standard, whether it's an actual sin or just I didn't do what I was supposed to, you know, that is not inherently – the world says, well, we don't want them to feel bad. But the Christian worldview is we need to feel a little bit bad about ourselves to recognize that we aren't – we need a savior. If we don't recognize that we have a need, we could never recognize our need of the savior. So anyhow, that's just one piece. But I think particularly when we think about the negative aspects of classroom management, where there are times when you have to have those hard conversations we said like Jesus had, or consequences need to come, or, you know, not everyone leaves feeling, you know, all light and fluffy and butterflies and rainbows. Like, those are hard, but they can be a good thing. It's not, I guess I'm just saying, contrary to popular belief, it's not inherently bad for students to have those negative feelings. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and I think too about if we don't help students to address their sin, and, you know, whether we can call it that or not. So, like, if they do something wrong, if we don't help them do that, if we're not honest about what they're doing, that's not really helping them. You know, I think of many conversations I had to have with students when it's like, you're not doing what is right, and you're not helping our class, and you're not, you know, and I couldn't talk about Jesus, but, you know, I'm like, you're not even doing your best, and that's hindering you, and it's hurting other people. So, like, that was what, for some of my students, continuous correction in that way was what actually helped them grow, not just positive reinforcement, which you need that too. But that by itself doesn't address the things that need to change. So I think it is, yeah, really helpful to think through those things.
Yeah. And in how God deals with us and how Jesus, as our example, like, he uses all of it. And I say this a lot, like, consequences are one tool in your toolbox. They should not be like your only thing that you use. If that's it, like, we're missing a lot, right? We've already talked on some things, love, relationships, positive, like, there's so, so much. But yeah, for sure. Can we also talk a little bit about, I also wanted to talk a little bit about just kind of how our classroom management can point to, like, the truths of the gospel story. Because you asked, you know, how can our classrooms impact our students? And so, and I know you know this, Carly, when we think about the gospel story, there's kind of these four great movements. And we've talked about this on the podcast before. There's creation, the fall, redemption and the cross, and then, like, glory, which is future in heaven. So when I think about this kind of classroom management, students in relationship to this, if we start with creation, like, we are all created in God's image. And so we carry inherent worth. And the question is, do we treat our students that way? Does the way we treat our students show that inherent worth, that we believe in them, whether they are pleasant or the most difficult child, do we recognize that inherent worth because they are God's creation, created in his image? Are we showing them that? I think that can be really powerful just in how we treat people, students, with respect, you know, no matter what the situation is.
Absolutely.
So that's the first, is creation. And then second is fall. And this is what we kind of already talked about, but we know, while either we were created in God's image, we're all fallen creatures. Because of the fall, because of sin, we all do wrong. And as I was saying before, in our classroom management, we don't need to be afraid to have our students recognize this reality. It is the reality. It is the truth, right? And so when our students have an opportunity to recognize, oh, I'm not perfect, I did fall short, and the results of this are, like you said, Carly, are hurting me, or they're hurting my classmates, or they're hurting the, you know, the culture, that is not a bad thing for them to recognize that. And if you're in a Christian school, you can go there and you can tell them exactly what's happening and why it is and why they need the Savior. And, like, you go there, absolutely. But if you're in a public school and you can't go there, still, that experience is still part of the story. And I think can kind of, you never know how God can use that. But just having that understanding, that base understanding in your heart of, like, yes, I do wrong, is a good thing, not a bad thing, for students to understand.
Yes.
All right. So creation, the fall, then redemption, right? The cross. So much we could say about this, but Christ offers forgiveness and restoration, okay? And in a Christian school, once again, you can be explicit about this. You know, if a student's done something wrong and they've asked for forgiveness, you can take them, you can pray with them, you can talk to them specifically about Christ's redemption and his forgiveness and point them directly to Christ. In a public school, obviously, that's way more limited. But regardless of where you teach, your forgiveness of the student and your restoring them to good standing in the class, despite what they did, can really be a picture of this reality that God does for us. And I think that that can also be really impactful.
Yeah. And that one, even just when I was doing youth ministry, like a lot of my students would tell me stories about their teachers. And I was just like, they're so like, and not, you know, not to badmouth these people, but there was just so much pettiness of like, if they did something wrong, like their teacher hated them for the rest of the semester. And I think some of that was their view, but I just have seen that before in teachers that don't know the Lord and don't know restoration and forgiveness. And it can be easy to do because, I mean, the kids can literally drive you crazy. But to think of like, how do I embody this redemption every day? Like, and where, like, Lord, show me the places where I need to make sure that we are restoring and forgiving and embodying this restoration, like day by day. And it's hard because sometimes students just continually push your buttons and you don't want to like them. So I think this one just really hits a sweet spot of like a way even just to pray specifically about the way that we handle our kids in our classrooms.
And I love that you brought in prayer because, I mean, that really is the bottom line. Like some of these things that we're saying here, you might feel like I can't. and that's the thing as Christians, like we can't do this on our own. This is like a superhuman way of, right? This is supernatural, a supernatural way of dealing with this. But God does give us the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit through prayer, like he can work in us what we couldn't do in our own.
Yeah. And he's always ready. He's like, I want to help you do this. I want to help you bring my kingdom here. So let's go.
I love it. Yes. Okay. So finishing up our God's gospel story, creation, the fall, redemption. And then the last piece is glory. And when I was thinking about this before our conversation, I was like, maybe I'll skip this one. I don't really know what to say about, like, does it apply? But then I thought of at least one thing that I did feel like applied. And that is the fact that one day, God will make everything right. That's the concept here, right? One day in heaven, it will all be perfect. He'll take away all of our sin and all of the fall. And I thought about one of the things that will look like is he will restore everything to its proper order, right? Before the fall, everything was perfect. And God is a God of order. And so I think about in our classroom, any time that we are able to restore a piece of that order, right? Create that calm, that learning space, push back the chaos of the fall and the results of it. We're kind of participating in that creation mandate to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, but we're also giving a little foretaste of what God will one day do. So when you have those moments of peace and you're like, oh, this is great, just like a little picture, a little foretaste of what God will do when he creates a place where peace and rightness and goodness and order will reign. So I don't know, as we deal with issues, just a thought there that we are having opportunities to picture pieces of this gospel storyline and paint that picture for our students.
Yeah. And I love that because it's even when you think about teaching, it really is a way to embody that story, like to participate in a present and meaningful way with other people. Like you have these kids that are captive in your classroom and you have these relationships that are just like no other relationship that people have. And it's just such a beautiful opportunity and it can be hard and that I totally get that, but there is such a beauty to it. And the Lord just really, and he wants to be there with us. And even thinking about the glory, I'm like, I just would pray, like, be present, right? Like, be present to that moment and be like, oh God, someday. And that's the kingdom coming right in, you know, it's breaking into the present right now, which is the funny thing about, you know, God's promises, like the kingdom is sort of come and it's coming, but it's not quite here yet. So, but those are those moments where you can be like, ah, oh, the kingdom was here. Stopped by for a bit. Hope I can stay a little longer.
Oh, I love that.
Well, as we wrap up, Linda, is there just anything else you want to share or takeaways just about thinking about sharing Christ's character and classroom management and all of that?
Yeah, well, I hope this conversation has been helpful for you guys. I was trying to like wrap up like what are some of the key takeaways, but we talked on so many things. We talked about our attitude being important, that it's love and humility and kindness. We talked about authority as a biblical concept. We talked about not being afraid of consequences. We talked about forgiveness and restoration. So there's so much there. I hope you took away at least one thing That was really helpful. And maybe most importantly, just the need to pray and invite God into the way you manage and allow his spirit to flow through you is really important. And one other thing I'll mention, you guys hear me talk on the podcast all the time about Classroom Management 101. It's our course that helps you create and implement a classroom management plan that works so you can stop being frustrated by misbehavior and enjoy teaching again. And that program is so very practical. It's a lot of like, do this, don't do this, you know, like very, and it also, you know, helps you think through like what works with your personality and all of that. But I just want you to know this conversation that we had here, this is the heart behind that course. So I've had many teachers come to me and say, you know, I love that course because I knew it was from, or I was actually just talking to someone the other day. She said, I love the course because I knew it was from a biblical background. And we don't talk about it in every video because we're getting into a lot of the practicalities, but this is the goal, is to help you say, you know, if you're saying, man, I want to do this, but what do I do when so-and-so does such and such? We'd love to invite you to check out the course and where we kind of get into a lot of the practicals. So if you want to check that out, it's at teachfortheheart.com/CM101 for Classroom Management 101. Well, thank you, Carly, so much for joining us in this conversation. I really enjoyed this. And to all of you listening, once again, all the notes, the links for this episode, if you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend. We'd love to be able to encourage them as well. You can get all the notes, the links, and the a link to the show as well at teachfortheheart.com/308. Well, once again, this podcast is brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation, although all the views and opinions are my own and those of my guests and do not necessarily express those of the Herzog Foundation. We look forward to being with you guys again soon. In the meantime, teacher, remember, God is at work in you and through you, and he's using you to make a difference. Keep your eyes on him and teach for the heart.